Hello, everyone. I'm Robbie Dorman, and this is Zero Finesses, the podcast for fans of everything. Welcome. Today, I'm joined by Yusef Danik to talk about soup. We're trying out something and doing tours of old cookie shows, watching them, discussing them, and making the recipes. We are starting off with Julia Child, the French chef herself, and making French onion soup. We talk about the show's presentation, about how the recipe worked for us, and we also talk about pickles and ska for some reason. It's always great talking to Yusef, and the soup was great. On to the discussion. Hello, everyone. I am joined by Yusef Danik to talk about the... Wait, we're not doing that anymore.
Bonjour, Robbie.
Bon appétit. I'm joined by Yusef. We're going to talk about some onion soup, I guess. Yusef, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
It's a good... Thank you for the reciprocity. Is that how you say that?
I think so.
Thank you. I'm okay. I'm all right. There's no more soup. Soup is gone.
You were out of soup?
I ate all the soup. Me and my wife.
Wait, did you make the portion for 14 people or whatever she was telling you to make?
Yep. Yes, I did. And it is all gone.
Wow.
We are going to be talking about Julia Child and her French onion soup recipe. We're going to be doing a little series of this, doing a lot of old cooking shows and making their food and seeing what our experience is compared to how cooking was whenever the show first aired. And in this case, we are touching on episode from, I got the date, it is February 9th, 1963, of The French
Chef.
Everything
was in black and white.
Yeah, The French Chef with Julia Child. It's her third episode ever of the show, and she made
French. Really? So she was still figuring it out?
I guess so. I mean, there were cooking shows before this. It's not like this French Chef was the first cooking show. But I know my impression of what's the first big cooking show? French Chef, Julia Child. It's what I immediately jump to.
That's the impression that you get?
No, we're not. There's no brass allowed.
Whoa, no ska zone.
No ska. Sorry. Is that even ska, really? That was more punk.
I feel like Dickie Barrett would hope that you would think it's ska. There's a guy that dances.
That doesn't...
I'm going to say, if we unpack it, there are horns. It's rife with cliches. And there's a dancing man.
There's horns in jazz,
it's
too.
It's not Motown.
Doesn't make it ska.
Maybe jazz is ska. It's just a good version of ska.
I don't like this. I don't like...
You don't like jazz?
I don't like this, the way, this direction of that we are... For anything with brass is immediately ska, just makes it good if it's good.
Yeah, some candlesticks are actually ska.
That was the impression I got, that Julia Child was always my first cooking show. Despite saying that, distinctly remember watch I watched I don't I've never watched any of this black and white stuff.
No.
I've only watched
That's
the
boring.
I've only watched the later stuff in color when she's a bit older. She's still quite young here.
Although no spring chicken, which is excellent. She started late, right?
Yeah, this is she is 50 here. 51,
which,
51, which, I mean, I
that's
say that...
worthy for anyone starting that, something.
Yeah, I mean, she was a veteran of World War II, basically, before she
wasn't
ever...
Wasn't she a spy?
She worked in the spy offices, but she was not a spy.
Well, that's, you know, what they would want you to believe.
She worked in the offices and did a lot.
Hid it in a cake!
Oh, God. It's begun. I don't. She wasn't a spy. She worked for the OSS. She did not actually serve as a spy. She worked in the offices. She served in the OSS because she was too tall to enlist in any of the female, the Women's Army Corps or the U.S. Navy's women's division either. She is 6'2".
Wow.
Quite a tall woman.
Look down on us all.
Yep. I feel like her height, though, adds to... The show?
Her authoritativeness?
Yeah, it makes you trust her. You're like,
yeah,
she's...
No, I instantly liked her. Like, I kind of always was on board with Julia Child as like an abstract thing to know about and appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I was not so crazy about that Julia movie.
I have not seen that movie.
I couldn't see it. I just didn't. I was like, yeah, whatever. We get it. But I liked her a lot. But then, like, never really sat down and watched her. But this, I was very into this.
Yeah, I chose. I think we were talking about what episode to do, and I proposed the French Jiu-Jitsu because, one, it is an early episode. Two, it is very kind of basic, a basic recipe to start with. For the most part, and it has a lot of stuff that she goes in a lot about knives in this episode.
I was really into the knife talk.
Well, knives have changed somewhat.
Yes.
Not a lot, honestly, but I don't take scouring powder to my knives after I've used them, which she does.
You don't dust off some Barman's Best Friend or whatever it's called?
I don't use Barman's Best. I've used that for cleaning windows. I've never used it for cleaning knives.
Do you have to like put like an old timey mustache and like wear a monocle to like purchase Barman's Best?
It's at Lowe's and Office and Home Depot. So no, you don't.
I say, I'm going to spiff up the joint.
It's the best thing to use when you're trying to get glue off of windows. Let's say if you work for a company that installs windows, and then you install the windows, and then the people who home you install the windows in go, there's a bunch of glue still on these windows, and this is unacceptable. And so you, a lowly employee, you get to go scrub windows for 8 hours.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who suffers from the experiential scars of, you know, former employment. Which, speaking of knives, I once had the privilege of selling the world's finest set of cutlery, Cutco.
Mm-hmm. Cutco knives.
Cutco knives. Which, let's just get it. It's a cult, but it's a cult with a good product.
Oh, is that true? Is that right?
Yeah, I stand by it. I use my Cutco. They stand by their warranty, too. Like, I had some ding-dong roommates in college who decided they wanted to use my Petite French Chef knife from my demo kit first they used it to strip furniture of its sort of paint.
What?
And then they used it, the tip of the Petite French Chef knife, to separate two pieces of frozen chicken and just broke it off. And so that thing lay dormant for many years. And I decided last summer, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to send this off, this stupid thing. I just either need to throw it away or get it repaired. And they totally sent me a new knife.
Well, that's nice of them. Yeah,
that's very good. I mean, I gave them a lot of my time. I was a very bad salesman.
No kidding. I don't believe it.
On my first sales call, that wasn't like someone I was directly related to. I was, you know, presenting to this woman, and she said, "Didn't you get my daughter into an R-rated movie?" Needless to say, I did not make a sale that day.
Did you get her daughter in an R-rated movie?
I did.
Oh no.
It was okay, so my little sister and her friends wanted to go to see, I don't know, one of the scary movies, or maybe I don't know what I don't know, maybe Can't Hardly Wait. Details are not important.
Can't Hardly Wait is PG-13.
Well then it wasn't that. This was hard R.
It was a harder. Okay,
yeah.
So knives.
So yeah, I like my Cutco.
Your
and
Cutco
she,
knives.
When she was talking about knife care, I really appreciated what she was saying. You know, like, you don't put this in the dishwasher. You don't wash it with other knives. You take care of it, you monster. And I will attest to that. Like, you can scuff a knife.
I feel like I really appreciate cooking shows that do this kind of very bare bones care of, like, here, this is how you use a knife, and this is how you take care of a knife. Having a good knife is very important. And, Good Eats, which is my favorite cooking show ever, is, you know, Alton Brown says he's patterned his show after his love of Julia Child. And I think you can see that DNA here. He has a knife episode too, and like this is as much a knife, like as much time is spent on the knives as is spent on the onion soup. And I think it has the only thing I think the thing that dates this episode aside from the, you know, it's black and white and everything, is she's like, sometimes it's hard to find a good knife, but if you have trouble, ask your butcher. And I'm like, there's plenty of places to find knives now. You don't have to go very far to find a set of cooking knives.
Yes, even our retail lives are much richer than hers.
It was much easier. It seemed much easier in 2018 than it was in 1963, I guess. I assume that you could go to Sears and get some knives. They probably weren't great.
Yeah, they would have a lifetime warranty. But just make sure you don't get those Phillips knives.
Phillips? The television, you know, people?
Yes, the television people. I was trying to, you know, like, because the Craftsman tools are you know, an important thing that Sears sells. And trying to move on.
What's Sears? I don't remember. What's
Sears is where you park in the mall.
Oh, got it. The parking lot. That parking lot store. I remember now.
Yes, where there are no cars. Sears is the Kmart of the mall.
Oh no, that's true too in every regard. Sadly.
Oh. I'm amazed that Kmart is still in business. It's like they made Walmart more unpleasant. And narrower. It's very narrow.
I don't think we have the time to delve into the...
I've shopped at a Kmart in the past year.
All right.
It was not a good experience.
First of all, congrats.
Thank you.
So we have the knives. Apparently this is the... Her demonstration about how to chop quickly is a little frightening. With chop, 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 chop.
I like that she kind of says, okay, you're not going to be this fast, you know. But she also says, this is the dog work you should practice on, which is wonderful. I just listen to her talk all day.
She's not snooty.
No, she's like real as they come.
Right. And I think that's the thing that people really latched onto her for, and the fact that she made like this, she's the French chef. And when you think of French food, you don't go, oh, this is approachable, I can do this. You think, I have to go to a restaurant for this food. And yeah, she's like, I have to go to France to get my French onion soup. It says it in the name.
It's cold by the time I get back. What do I do?
But that segment apparently is part of, there's an SNL skit where someone chops her fingers in the early SNL days.
Oh, wow.
And that was inspired, I guess, by this.
Yeah, no, her technique is good. I'm not crazy about the way she chops an onion. I feel like I'm better at chopping onions than her.
I'm better than Julia Child. All right.
Yes. Yes. That's gauntlet thrown. I will challenge the ghost of Julia Child to an onion chopping contest any day.
I think she'd still win. I'm taking the ghost of Julia Child over you, Yusa.
You know, honestly, it's probably a safer bet. I have a slightly different technique, but I really liked that she talked about, like, chopping an onion is one of the few things that I can do, like, in a, like a, ooh, I kind of know what I'm doing kind of way. Like, I'm not just talking about cooking, like, just in general, like, it's one of the things I think I can do correctly. But, so there's that. But I really do like the idea of her saying, you know, you learn that it's a process. We're going to get better at this, which I feel like for some people, especially like I'm going to make, you know, French food or whatever, like you were alluding to, it's just very nice for things to be approachable.
Yes. And she's like, yeah, you'll be slow for a while. And then if you keep practicing, you'll get faster and it'll be better.
You'll have no hands.
I don't think that's what she was saying. I think she was saying the opposite. You will have hands.
Yes, that is true. Until she chops them off after she vanquishes.
She does. She does have this. She's like
beyond the grave contest.
Well, she also has the part in this where she has the knife and she is. She's like, this is. You want a knife that will hold. You don't want a knife that will hold an edge. You want a knife that will take an edge. And then she's like, it will. If you, I just run it across my arm here. It will cut it straight down to the bone. And I'm like,
I know. She just. like just could crank it to 11 just real quick and then dial it back. She is,
zero
I'm
to
sure she was delightful to hang out with.
I would, that'd be amazing. Like if I could travel back in time and hang out with Julia Child, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, well, okay. I mean, you know what president I would want to have a beer with.
Dwight D. Eisenhower?
No.
Andrew Jackson?
Nixon, bro. Nixon. Nixon would be like the best to have a beer with because he would be so entertaining. He'd be talking about like all his like, you know, like, oh, blah, 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 Joe looked fail and this, that.
I mean, Gerald Ford is the actual correct answer.
Yusuf. He's a party man.
Yeah.
He's the regular guy.
I mean, I've watched The Simpsons.
Yeah, this is not that podcast, friend. This is real life. But Julia Child, I think.
What are you saying about The Simpsons? It's not real. But it has to be.
It has to be. So much time.
So much time. What the hell are we talking about?
He was always on vacation. So, yes.
Great show. The knives, I really appreciate. It's very honest. Like, hey, this is the basics here. Chop this way. I also cut onions differently than she generally does, but I did. I used her technique for when I made my French onion soup.
Yeah?
I did it exactly as she does it.
Nice. It made it taste good.
There's like 10 minutes of knives in this, of her demonstrating, here, chop, 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 chop. And then
I like how she takes things slowly. You know, she actually gives you time to kind of process, because I guess she wouldn't be, you know, DVRing or taping it or anything like that.
Yeah, you have to. You have to like write this stuff down as you're watching. Like that's the only way.
I wonder if you could send a letter to the station for a transcript. Like that's a real question. Because I feel like that's a thing.
Maybe I don't know. It was a public television show.
Because they did not flash ingredient list.
No, they did not. So you just have to kind of go, oh, okay, so onions, olive, cheese, as you go. She's like, what did she call the bread? The special name for the bread?
A cruet.
A cruet.
A cruet. Yes, yes. Yes. And, oh my gosh, so putting wine, like red wine in the soup, that felt pretty fancy. Like, I remember when I was probably about 15, I thought that the most eleganza thing you could do would be to pour wine on food that you're cooking. So I made a lot of really terrible food that, like, my family ate begrudgingly, and I just thought I was the king of town. So that really, to have proper application of pouring wine in food, I was like, oh, yeah, look at me, Mr. Frenchman.
Mr.
I felt
Frenchman.
Pretty good.
I mean,
my garage.
We got to see, and when you watch her make the soup, but she, it's not like, this is completely different than, I think, we are accustomed to modern cooking shows, and this show is different because it was done live to tape. There was, and like, so, if there's a mistake in there, she can't cook the food. She can't do all. She like has to make the food first. Like she literally made this food twice,
three times actually.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, because there's a couple stages. Like I was thinking about that. I was like, everybody on the set had loads of French onion soup. They had, I mean, like one pot is supposed to serve six. So there's at least three pots. It's out of control.
There's a lot, and so she's doing it live
that
to tape.
That studio
and
stank of onions.
I do not mind the smell of onions.
I don't mind them, but I when I made the soup, I also was prepping for my sister had a birthday, and so we were doing like birthday dinner, and so I was making kebab, and that requires shredding onions. So I shredded a bunch of onions. I chopped a bunch of I broke down about 10 pounds of onions in the space of an hour.
You did some dog work.
Stank of onions for 2 days.
Some yog, dog work, Yusuf.
Yes, I did that dog work. I did. Rough, rough.
Arf, 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 arf. So she had to make this three times. Like, and that was routine. Like every single time she'd have to make stuff multiple times. She didn't have any assistants. Their budget was so low. Apparently, they had to auction the food off to the audience afterwards sometimes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
There's volunteers wash dishes unpaid.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of interesting to think about that, because when I think of like the celebrity chef and like modern cooking shows and all of that, like, I don't even think Rachel Ray knows what Dawn is.
I mean, she washes her hands in between handling chicken, I assume.
I doubt it.
I think the most shows are pretty adamant about the no cross-contamination stuff.
Rachel Ray won't listen.
Her EVOO?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't like that. Is that really necessary?
It doesn't save you any time. It takes exactly the same amount of time to say.
Stick to making dog food, Rach.
Don't know. She will kill your dog. That's the whole thing. That was the whole thing about that, is that she had onions in food for her dogs, and onions are bad for dogs.
Wait, so Nutrish was not Nutrish? I didn't, I did not know that. Like, yes. I already had, like, an adversarial relationship with Rachel Ray. Like, no, yeah, I do
that
not
was,
like her.
That was the big deal about one of her recipes for dogs, I believe, is that there were actually onions in it, and onions are bad for dogs.
What a ding dong.
I don't know. I don't really have a big problem
with
Rachel Ray, aside from
her dog. Ray.
That is my biggest beef with Rachel Ray. Aside from that, I think she's fine.
Aside from the fact that she made a thing that was harmful to the target audience. Stew in those juices, Rach.
So, and this is the third episode. So clearly, like, I'm actually very impressed of how smoothly this was, how smoothly it went. I think the biggest misstep is she having to, like, walk across the kitchen to get some salt. She's like, I left it, or a towel or something. She had to go back across the kitchen to get it. And that's the biggest misstep. That's not a big problem whatsoever. I don't know. The recipe itself is fairly simple, although I do appreciate her explanation about, oh yes, first you have to soften the onions and then you brown the onions. Like, it is like that. This is, if you're going to be making French onion soup, yeah, you got to do this first: soften, then brown, and then add the flour, and then this. It's not like it's hard. Like, the recipe itself is very easy.
Yeah, you know, honestly, if I were like wanting to teach someone like the basics of cooking, like, this would definitely be a thing I would say, yeah, you should like do this,
because it has a lot of very like elementary concepts that you like. It has, here's, practice your knife work here. Mm-hmm. Cooking a vegetable to first soften, and then you can brown it. Then you understand the Maillard reaction a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then the adding the flour to get a kind of a
that's super French.
Flour, so French.
I think that's a tenet of French cooking. Like, the rest of the world is like, I'm just going to reduce this, but the French are like, we have the flour, we put it in the thing, it will be thick.
Add the flour and add more fat, and then you add the stock and the wine. And then you reduce it, and then you put a whole bunch of bread and cheese on top of it.
Yeah, this was like a meal that was like super hyper beige. Like, it was just a color palette, and it was all brown crayons.
Yeah, that's I think my only complaint about the episode itself is when you look at the food at various stages. You can't see any differences. There's like no differences whatsoever. You're like, this is after and before it is reduced. And you're like, that looks exactly the same to me, because the black and white fidelity in this is not helping the variety of browns.
As it was happening, it was really, you know, you tasting it. Definitely. You could feel taste the flavors developing and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And adding the, like, I didn't have fancy cognacs. I just had some garbage brandy that I just threw in there.
I didn't use anything. I was going to ask you. I did not use cognac or brandy.
I literally did that because I had some. I was not going to go out and get a bottle of cognac because I don't particularly like cognac.
My wife stopped at the store to get some wine, and then I use that to cook with. And then she will drink the rest. But no one is going to be drinking cognac. So I was like, sorry, this, I'm going to have to do this without the cognac. It'll be okay.
It really did add something, because I kind of tasted it before. and then added the cognac and or the, added the brandy, which I guess brandy is like cognac is a fancy brandy.
They're adjacent.
I had to look that up. There are many things I don't know. That was one of them.
If you, Yusuf, if you ask me blindly, what's the difference between cognac, brandy, what's the other one?
Courvoisier? No, is that a, that's a brand of
no, the,
cognac.
The, there's one, there's a
from
third.
From the hit movie, The Ladies' Man.
My God. There's a third fancy sipping liqueur that I can't remember.
If it doesn't come in a plastic bottle, I don't know about it.
I would not be able to tell you the difference between any of those things, off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So that does not get adequately demonstrated, I think, on the screen, but I think that is solely an issue with the black and white low definition cameras of 1963. There's not much
when
you could do.
As a kid, I always wondered how you were supposed to consume these cooking shows, like, or painting or any of woodworking or any of this stuff. I was always, transfixed by all of these shows. Because we didn't have cable, or cable didn't exist, or whatever. Like, it was just, there was no cable, so there were limited options. And so I was very interested in all of these things. But, like, I always thought, like, what are you cooking while it's happening? You know, I just didn't understand. I was a stupid child, but it was interesting to me, because I guess what you would do is you would take notes, maybe send for a transcript.
I mean, she also had a cooking book at this. Her book was out at this point, so you could probably also.
Okay.
I'm assuming some of this was also basically, hey, this is an advertisement for Julia Child's mammoth French cooking book.
That's true.
So that might be like, hey, I assume the recipe in her book for Red Journey Soup is probably exactly the same as it is here.
Yeah, I would assume. And definitely recipes are not. It took me a while to realize that not all recipes are good recipes. Like, not like the food that they receive is good or not, but the just the writing of them. Like, some recipes are, like, really incomplete, or they describe things in too many or too few steps, or sometimes both at the same time.
Yeah,
and
it's not an easy thing to recognize if you haven't cooked a lot and looked at a lot of recipes.
Yes.
Because now when you can look at recipe. You're right. Cause now that I have years of experience of looking at recipes, I can immediately just look at a recipe and, like, read through it and be like, no, not using this one. Bye bye. Immediately.
Yes.
But
I will just look at a recipe and let out a giant belly laugh and throw the book in the trash.
It feels like we have such a, there's so many now. Like, I can't imagine, like, imagine yourself in 1963, there is no internet. Like, I can, anything I want to make, anything, as long as I have the basic ingredients, I can find a dozen recipes immediately within 10 seconds. If you, in 1963, if you didn't have a book with that recipe in there, you're kind of SOL. You're lost.
Well, definitely. And seeing the recipe, you know, prepared really made me kind of understand, like, even though I'm, you know, reasonably experienced with cooking, like, I can, you know, nobody starved in this house, but, like, you know, seeing it done really made me kind of understand it more than if, let's say, I was just doing it off of a recipe.
Yeah, it always
and
every.
So maybe that's like what? Yeah.
No, finish your thought.
Well, that's like the power of the show, or just any of this stuff. It's just that, like, it's like making it more accessible beyond just, you know, anyone can buy the cookbook, but, like, I don't know, to, like, demonstrate it is, I don't know, powerful.
It is. It makes it approachable. It makes it achievable. That's the best cooking shows have always done to me is, like, I was not taught how to cook as a child. I was a boy. Boys don't learn how to cook. I think
in my house it's a little different.
I understand. I'm just, yes. I up through college, I did not know how to cook. And then in college I started watching Good Eats and various other cooking shows. And I started cooking, and the variety of cooking shows, that's what they do. They make this stuff achievable. I feel like I was like my meals in college were like, hey, buy chicken breasts, chop it up and cook it in a pan.
Oh yeah, no,
That's not good. That's not a good thing
struggles.
To do.
I tried to hard boil eggs one time, and you'd think that's like simple as I messed up one of the two steps, and like I cracked my eggs open, and I was just so mad, I just threw them out the front door. I was just it's infuriating, learning how to cook.
It is, and that's I think as a I don't know we it is a weird. I personally think everyone should know how to cook. I think it is.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good when you make things right and you feel good because you're like, I can take care of myself. I can make this thing. I understand the basics enough so I can make a rice thing, a meal. I can put some rice in here and then I throw in some chicken stock and then I throw in some flour and now it's suddenly, and I add some chicken to that and now it's all like it's a meal. Hey, I made a thing without a kit. Even though food kits, I don't know. I'm fine with food kits too. That's also totally, meal kits are totally perfect.
I'm into that insofar as it gets people cooking. Again, I'm not like gourmet chef or anything like that, but I really do derive a lot of self-worth and personal value in being able to like cook and do that stuff. Like I being able to, now I know I can hard boil those eggs. They're not going out the front door. They're going in my tum tum.
They're not outdoor eggs anymore.
They're indoor eggs.
The indoor
Come
eggs.
Come on in, eggs.
Do you have any problems with this recipe at all?
As try as I might, as patient as I was, I really couldn't get a nice brown on the onions. And I think that probably stemmed from just having too much water in the pot. Like I was probably a little impatient.
It took a long time.
Yeah, I was in a bit of a hurry. This initially was going to be a Saturday recipe where I wasn't going to, have to worry about timing because like the timing kind of was like hour and a half, 2 hours, know, active, inactive time. And so making this for a weeknight dinner was not a good idea. It was like we're going to eat at 9 o'clock, which was not ideal. So maybe I was trying to rush it a little bit, but that was my big concern was the browning of the onions. And then I did not have the fortitude to put in as much cheese as I probably should have.
Oh,
but I put in a good bit of cheese. Like it was kind of hard to breathe the next day. Like, I mean, it was a good amount of cheese success.
I think my soup was 50% cheese.
Yeah, no, it was good. I made some for breakfast. Like I heated up some for breakfast and did the cruet and I was a little more liberal with the cheese and I was like, I think this is a better expression of it. And actually since I made a bunch, cause I decided I'm not gonna try and cut the recipe. It didn't seem like there was anything in there proportion wise that would have been weird. But I was like, I'm just going to make it as is. So I froze some of it. So I'm going to see how that goes in a couple weeks.
I ate most of it, frankly. I think I had four separate meals of this. Is this my with the French onion soup?
Yeah.
I didn't have any real trouble. It was just time. It's soup. I don't know. Soup generally, if you're going to make it a soup from mostly scratch. I did not. I diverged from the recipe. I did not make my own stock.
Yeah, I wasn't about to do that.
That's another hours. That's more hours of time added to which I'm not.
And she was very casual about it. She's like, "Oh, you don't want it to taste like the can." I get.
I'm sure
I bought a box of stock.
I did too. I'm sure it would taste better if I made my own stock, but. Yeah. It would also take another 5 hours or whatever. I'm not interested in spending that much time.
Honestly, I mean, if we think about who the intended audience here, if you're like a homemaker, making stock, again, what, you're just like sort of waiting around,
I have a feeling
kids are at school or whatever.
I also have a feeling that our grocery store stock, box stock or whatever is much better than it was in 1963. It probably, I'm sure, has they've fine-tuned that salt mixture, the salt content and the preservatives or whatever to make it taste better. Of course, homemade stock is always going to taste better, but I don't want to boil bones.
Well, I mean, presumably, you like if you were making this, you know, maybe you did like a roast, you know, and you had your bones that you probably kept in the freezer or whatever. And like I have a chicken carcass in my freezer right now.
First of all,
you know,
congrats.
Yes, thank you. It's been a long time coming. Last time I made a chicken, I was like, you know what? We're going to have return.
We're going to return of the chicken carcass.
Return of the chicken. It's my favorite The Mac movie.
What? The Mac?
The Mac.
From
the
McDonald's?
Mac part two, Return of the Mac. No, it was a 70s blaxploitation film as The Mac. Yeah. It was the prequel to Alex Mac, The Secret Life of Alex Mac.
What about The Mac
and
Me?
Well, that was an alternate reboot. The timelines diverged.
This is a very weird crossover with the blaxploitation Mac and the bad E.T. movie called Mac and Me and the Secret World of Alex Mac, where a girl turns into liquid.
Well, it's McDonald's is all about synergy.
I'm loving it.
And sometimes synergy exists across time.
You got to eat.
And taste. And just identity.
So I did not use homemade stock, and I did not use cognac. But aside from that, I followed the recipe pretty explicitly. I also did not shred onions into the soup, which I was.
I chopped. I probably shredded onions probably would have been good, but I had some. I just could have reserved some extra onions, and I stuck them in, and they were good. I was kind of surprised by that because I was like, well, they're going to be differently cooked than the other stuff. But I don't know. It kind of worked.
I bought French bread and I did what you do when you had used French bread in a recipe is you use the French bread for the recipe and then eat the rest of it like a savage with some butter.
Yes. Yes. My bread, I have a little bit left and I don't think it will need to be toasted. I think it's going to go on a little bit. Some of the soup that's remaining in the fridge.
I don't know. The soup was very, very good. I don't think I have like a grand catalog of the French onion soups that I've ever tasted in my mind, but I'll say this is the best French onion soup that's ever been made. My French onion soup.
I was pretty pleased with it. I would like a little more, like it was not bland or anything like that, but I probably would have liked it to be a little more tangy or flavorful or something. It was very good. It was like, you know, French onion soup I don't think is ever going to like punch you in the mouth with flavor. But this was a very, very tasty French onion soup.
I think it is a kind of very basic starter French onion soup. I think this is a place to start for if you want to make a variety, I would like to make this, you know, push it in different flavor directions. You want to make it tangier or spicier or whatever. You could obviously take this recipe and add, you know, whatever spices you want, honestly to it. I think it is, I'm totally cool with just basic, savory, hearty French onion soup. You taste the onions. I think largely this is what this soup does is like, you taste the onions, and you taste cheese.
Yeah, and it was very good. It was very satisfying. I took Julia's advice and served it with a salad, and I think that's why I'm still here today.
But, I did not bother.
Well, I had some salad hanging around from actually the birthday dinner. We
Ooh.
Made too much salad, so. Yeah, I'm a big fan of like trying to like, you know, use the things and like there's like the arc of I'm going to prepare this, then I'll have this left over and that'll go and like meal planning and all that stuff. I would be like a bomb housewife. I'd be the best.
So listen up. Listen up, ladies.
Well, particularly just my wife. Like,
hey, Megan, listen.
Hey, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
It's totally cool if you don't want me to work. I will learn to love bonbons. I am already CBS soaps for life. I could do it. And I kind of am like during summer vacation. I kind of am like very like, you know, I'll do the shopping and do the list and this and that. Yeah, I'm very domestic AF, man. I am super domestic. I love it.
Is there anything you would suggest to, is there any advice you give to people who are just trying out this recipe for the first time?
Give yourself time.
Yes.
And I thought, my fool head thought I was going to freeze the soup in bags. That was disgusting. and messy, and so I use Tupperware.
What
the recipe make? It's just like kind of like the bags. It's hard to pour soup into a bag.
Why would you? Okay.
I don't know. I have a lot of bad ideas.
I was gonna say, like, I immediately went, this is going in Tupperware. I am not putting.
It seemed weird. Why would you put Tupperware in, and then it's this big liquid block? Or how are you gonna defrost it? I'm still not sure how that's gonna work.
Microwave.
Ugh.
What do you mean? It's heat. It doesn't like. It's not like it gives you weird chemicals.
I'm gonna set it in. I'm gonna set it in the refrigerator the day before. I think. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I should have made French onion popsicles.
Oh God.
Oh, you could dip them in you could dust them with like Parmesan cheese.
No, stop. This is not a good idea.
Oh, no God, one do this. Savory popsicles. That's disgusting.
I think I've seen a food truck that is like, hey, this is popsicles, but like some of them are savory. I'm like, no, thank you.
I'd have a pickle pop.
Ugh, that's awful. It's just vinegar.
Does pickle juice freeze?
I don't know. That would in like I try and keep pickles out of my house, frankly.
Really?
My Kim, my wife likes pickles, so we have pickles occasionally.
You don't like pickles?
I think they're disgusting.
Do you need someone to cut up your chicken fingers?
There's nothing wrong with chicken fingers.
Child. You don't like pickles?
You know what I had for dinner last night, Yosef?
What? A peanut butter and jelly sandwich with the crust cut off?
Dude, no. I eat the crust. I'm an adult. There's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches was my dinner.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, gross. There was one year where I used to have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day for many years.
I love peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. If I had to choose one food, you just change the
cream,
jam.
Cheese, that's, and jelly.
You just change
cream,
the jelly.
Cheese, and jelly for two years.
No.
I can eat neither of them anymore. Like somebody was, I don't know, there was a poor person on TV or something on the show. And they were like, well, peanut butter and jelly. And
when you get tired of it, you change up the jelly. You just get, you know, you go from strawberry to grape to blueberry to blackberry to whatever you feel like, you know. Or orange marmalade even, if you're feeling fancy.
Wow. Peanut butter and jelly is just gross to me. You know, but you know what's really gross are those pre-made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Uncrustables you're speaking of?
Yeah, that's like, really? Was it really hard to make peanut butter and jelly? You need somebody to take care of that for you?
We all have are challenged in different ways, Yosef.
What are your thoughts on Easy Mac?
Totally for it, as long as I doctor it up, you know.
Oh, God. Is it hard to make mac and cheese? That was the first thing, like, when I was a kid.
Is it hard? No. Is Easy Mac easier? Absolutely. And I just doctor it up. You put in your own cheese. You put in, breading to it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine.
Although I that's reprehensible to me, but I do have a friend who doctors up ramen in a way that like sounds disgusting. Like he adds like shallots and, you know,
how's that disgusting? What's wrong with
cheese
shallots?
And like he shreds cheese into it.
Okay.
And like it's really good.
Yeah,
he's like
that's
the king of ramen.
Yeah, I know that's. Food kits are fine. They're a good starting place for people who don't know what they're doing.
I guess. I don't know. I always felt like Easy Mac, like really like boiling water that's where you draw the line.
It has nothing to do with, it has, some people don't, the combination of spices, people don't want to buy 15 different spices, Yosef. So in that bag, you get the cheese.
Oh no, I'm talking about like Kraft macaroni and cheese spirals, like an envelope of like cheese powder.
There's spice in there, too. It's more than just cheese powder.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm in favor of that. But there's this Easy Mac garbage that, like, you're supposed to put in the microwave or, like, you just, like, take the top off and, like, it just goes around.
I thought we were discussing the kits, the boxes.
Oh, no. Box mac and cheese is, I mean, it's not as good as, like, real mac and cheese, but, like, I had some for lunch today.
I don't know Easy Mac. I'm not privy.
No, Easy Mac is gross.
Is that like the?
It's like microwavable, like containers, single container of mac and cheese that you just like the top off, like you pour some water in.
I mean, you want lunch and you don't want to do anything else. You can go to the grocery store, you can buy 10 of them.
Yeah, I know. But still, like, get a chicken pot pie or something. Like, Marie Callender's, hook it up.
That's also, I mean, they're, I will eat a Marie Callender chicken pot pie, but it's not like they're any better for you. That's the same level of like preservatives and.
Oh no, I'm just talking sodium. About like end user enjoyment.
I will eat those. All these things, I'll probably, I would eat all of them. I have no standards.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes I pass by the noodle aisle and I'm like, ooh, yakisoba, like those like, garbage troughs of noodles. I'm like, that's $1.50 well spent.
It's not, I, again, any, you put, give me any pasta, I will probably, it doesn't, whatever noodle it is, I will eat it. My advice, don't skip on the cheese.
Yeah.
And definitely toast the bread before you put it in the, on the top of the soup.
Yes. Trust me about the sunscreen.
That adds a lot, the toasting with the olive oil. It's an extra step and adds a lot of time, but it does add a lot of flavor. I put more cheese than she even has in the recipe, which is
That's
a lot.
That's impressive. Yeah,
I grated two full blocks of Swiss cheese and then added another half container of Parmesan.
Oh my God.
The fancy good Parmesan, not the cellulose wood fiber.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes in a geometric shape.
Yeah. So yes, the more cheese, the better. I use red wine.
Yeah, I did too.
Okay.
Putting white wine in there, she was like, what? But maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, she wasn't necessarily said you could do either, but I felt like, you know, it's a...
She did. No, she said you could do red or white, and I was like, what?
I'm like, it feels very much like a red wine soup. It's a brown soup. You would put red wine in there.
Yeah, but the white wine might be more, like, tangy.
I guess white wine would add a totally
different...
That actually
probably would have been something that I would have been into.
Yeah, you might want to try it again with the white wine instead.
I have started keeping white wine in the house because I've like been experimenting with pan sauces. Sometimes it's like I got about a 50-50 success rate though, where like sometimes it's the most gourmet thing in the world. And then sometimes it's just like this goopy, salty sludge that like my wife is just real nice about. She's like, oh, dinner was okay.
Is it edible?
We eat it. But it's like we eat it a little more quietly than when the pan sauce really works.
I mean, you only need to know how to make like 3 or 4 pan sauces. And that's basically, that covers most food applications.
Yeah. I feel like my big problem is just properly browning things without overcooking them. I feel like I'm still fighting with chicken.
I mean, chicken's hard to cook.
It is.
Because like... You have to cook it to a certain temperature or people will get violently ill.
But like one second beyond that, and then it's just disgusting.
Yeah, it gets very dry. That's why I just...
Or rubbery. The rubbery is worse than the dry.
I generally just stick with chicken thighs.
Oh, gosh. See, I like a chicken thigh. I prefer that. But I understand that if you did not grow up eating chicken thighs, they definitely have a specific flavor to them.
Well, I mean,
that is very specifically chicken thigh.
We're not talking about, so we are
not
very,
everyone in the household is into that.
We are very off French onion soup, but I will say that chickens, like chicken thighs, yeah, it's fat. You gotta, the fat in the chicken thigh is what makes them taste better, what makes them juicy. It makes it easier to cook. There's less room for error. In chicken breasts, there's no fat. And because chickens have been bred, or at least the chickens that we, you know, either buy at the grocery store to chop up and eat, they've been bred over the years to have less and less fat, just like pigs. Same thing. Pigs and chickens both have been bred to have less and less and less fat in their white meat. So that's why. And it makes it much more difficult to cook, you know. Like, it's no problem at all cooking chicken thighs. It's no problem at all cooking, like, a pork shoulder or something because there's a lot of fat in there. But if you're starting to get pork chops or chicken breasts, a lot less fat. So your room for error is like infinitesimal. Sometimes it seems like you cook it to the done temperature, but even if you do everything right, it still doesn't work out right because it's just, there's not enough fat in there. So I try and avoid most food like meat cuts that don't have enough fat in them because it's not fun. You know, there's no pleasure in it. You're just like, hey, I hit the temperature. All right, done.
Doesn't sing you a song.
No, it doesn't sing me a song. I don't know. I really enjoyed making the French onion soup.
I liked it too. It was something that I had never done because it's like That's a lot of French onion soup. So I don't know when I will make it again. But like, if I had a bunch of French people coming over, I'd be like, here, you probably just call this soup. They'd be into it.
It'd be onion soup.
It'd be onion soup. That's right. And then here's a long tube of your bread.
There was a time in my life when I would not eat. I would not eat this.
Really?
Because of onions.
Oh, you didn't like onions. What turned you around on it? On the onion?
I'm not sure. There's just, I think I hit a time when I'm like, oh, right. Actually, onions, I didn't like the kind of fresh onions, especially. I did not like the bite. I did not like that extra bite. But then I don't know. I got a little bit older and my taste buds started dying. So nice. Any extra flavor.
So maybe someday you'll enjoy pickles.
I'll just be an old man.
Yes.
Eating pickles. I'm like, this is the only thing that gives me a thrill anymore. It's the only thing I can taste. It's this awful, vile thing.
Well, at least you know you're alive.
I will post I'll have the YouTube link to the Julia Child episode. I'll have the recipe as well in text if anyone out there wants to watch and try it. I would encourage it. We'll be doing doing more of these with variety of television shows and of cooking shows, and we'll try different recipes.
I would love it if anyone made this. I would love to see pictures of it.
Yeah, if you do make it, let me know. Tweet at me. Tweet me the pictures. I would love to see them.
And if you know about Photoshop, maybe tweet Steve Harvey into some French onion soup or
Yusuf. That Steve Harvey Photoshop is like 3 years ago. You got to move on.
I will never move on. Only my heart will go on.
The other totally relevant Titanic reference.
Yes. You ever heard the dance mix of that? It's pretty good.
Hey, Yusuf, what were the things you'd like to plug?
Well, I would like to tell people to go to portaki.bandcamp.com. You can buy a cassette that I made about Dune.
It's a alternate Dune soundtrack, correct?
Yes, my Dunescapes.
Correct.
I think they're pretty good.
I like them.
And if you get a cassette, I'll send you a sticker from my other band. I have stickers.
What's your other band?
Oh, Maze Arcade. Actually playing a show tomorrow.
Rock and roll band.
Rock and roll.
Rock and or roll.
Sometimes with the drum machine.
Is this your drummer still in France?
Well, he has come back from France. Oh. I will have to ask him about the onion soup, but he is not in town. He's still sort of a gadfly, just gadding about.
I was gonna say, at what point does the drummer, do you decide you need a new drummer? Or do you become, the drum machine becomes permanent?
I like this guy. It's nice when people show up.
I mean, I like a lot of people as well, but I was going to say,
yeah,
you need them to be there. If
situation.
Well, 6 months is quite a span of time, I would say.
You know.
If I start a baseball team.
Yes.
And I have a third baseman. I like him a lot. He's a good third baseman. But he misses practice for 6 months, I still need a third baseman.
Well, it's different when the team that you started has to beg to play in games.
I mean, that's why you start a league and you get a bunch of them together. And yeah.
See. Well, I mean,
you don't have to just go places and just start playing. You can't do that.
I'm gonna busk.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Start wearing a pork pie hat.
You have to wear a pork pie hat?
I'm assuming. I think it's sort of like you know how like sexual predators have to like self-identify. I feel like that like buskers have to self-identify as buskers so that you know to stay away from them.
I mean, all you need is one viral video of you performing in a subway somewhere, and then suddenly you're a band.
God, and then you have one of your stupid whoa oh oh songs on a soap commercial.
Oh oh oh.
You know those songs where it's like there's like a kettle drum or something and the people are like, whoa, they're like whoa-ing. I hate that stuff.
I was talking about the brass house band, Too Many Zoos.
Wait, ska?
It's not ska. It's definitely not ska. Whatever it is not ska. It's like dance music, but with brass instruments and drums.
I don't know. I think it might be ska.
It's not ska. There's no singing. Ska music, and there's no... there's no reggae beat in there.
Well, okay, so I heard a cover of the Dave Brubeck jazz song, which is a ska song because it has horns. Take five done in the ska style.
Why are you committing so many sins?
Ska on ska.
Why are you hurting people
like
this?
Four tone.
Do you take pleasure in pain?
I don't know.
Causing pain to people?
I'm an arbiter of the truth.
Arbiter of pain, Yusef Danik. Thank you, Yusef, for joining me. Bon appetit!
Bon appetit!
Thanks again to Yusef for joining me. You can find me on Twitter at Robbie Dorman, and the show's website is serofanasist.com. You can follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/serofanasist. If you like the show, give it a 5-star review. Subscribe, tell your friends, see all those good things. They help us out, help the show out. I appreciate it. Until next time, thanks for being a fan.